Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, how a study finds chili peppers can slow down lung cancer development from Marshall University. And about 15 more really quality studies showing how we can reverse, improve, or prevent different diseases. Then I'm going to do a reading a letter from our lawyers to Wikipedia. I'm posting it. I'll read maybe 5-10 minutes of it. It's 40 pages long, and it's full of documentation that we believe shows that Wikipedia should be closed down and their nonprofit status removed, and they're then being able to be sued for the slanders and libels. I'm not doing just this for me, because for years I really didn't do anything. It was my philosophy that instead of turning, wasting all my time fighting all these people that try to attack my position and have throughout my career, that they weren't what was important. Doing more articles to expose the truth, empowering people, writing books, doing documentaries, doing my daily broadcast, counseling people, takes a lot of time and positive energy. But then I started to look back. I started to look at the people who, in my opinion, deserve to be defended, deserve to have the attacks against them challenged. Sonia Farber. Sonia had the courage to write articles about AIDS and the politics of AIDS. No one else did at the time. And I wrote the first articles, John Lardson wrote the second, Sayy wrote the third. She was the first in that group, first woman to write these articles in America. She should be at the top of the list of women journalists who are praised for their courage to take on established figures. Instead, she was vilified and attacked. So who fights for Sayy? She doesn't have a forum, the largest progressive radio forum in the world. So what happens when someone is attacked? How do they handle that emotionally? What happens to their career? Who's willing to publish them? Which publisher's willing to publish them and risk being attacked and boycotted? Think of the hundreds of other activists who, as activists, took on different causes, but those causes were also causes that involved the establishment. Look at those people right now speaking out against Google and Facebook and 5G technologies and GMOs. Do you think Jeffrey Smith, who was led the charge against GMOs, or Dr. Chopra in Canada, who also led the charge at the medical and scientific level, do you think those people did not suffer consequences? Of course they did. Now look them up on Wikipedia. Not one of the people, from Cheryl Atkinson, the multi-award-winning honest journalist at ABC, and Rupert Sheldrake, the honest scientist, not one of them has not been the victim of attack. So when I made my mind up to do something, and as you probably know, if you know me for a while, I'm going to do it. When I said I'm going to do a veterans village, I built a veterans village. It exists today for homeless vets. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it in my time, and I'm not going to play their game. I'm not going to fight them the way they think the average person is going to fight them, because if you do, you'll lose. But I don't believe we're going to lose. I believe we're going to win. I can't tell you why. I can't show you our strategy, but I'll simply let you know that everyone in this audience is a part of it. Why? Because right now, if you want to know about anything involving health or medicine, you're going to Google it, and it's going to take you to Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is going to take you to their skeptics. And their skeptics, who are unqualified in any of the areas they talk about, are going to give you their biased opinion. And their biased opinion could impact you and cause life or death decisions. That's how serious it is. So this is about liberating true freedom of choice, of informed consent to make decisions that are in your best interest, not Big Pharma's best interest, not some cult's big interest. And right now, it is my opinion that Wikipedia represents the most dangerous cult in the world. So we are, as we speak, remember when I asked for those citizen journalists? Well, You wouldn't believe how many there are. And they're all writing articles, none knowing each other, in case there's a provocateur, an agent plant. And I'm the only one that speaks with them. They're each on a different story. So I'll just tell you this. Jimmy Wells, the God King, isn't that what you have been called? Well, you're going to have about 100 articles coming your way in short succession. Better get your skeptics lawyered up. Let us go also to Tulsi Gabbard. Now, a lot of people don't know who to vote for. They don't know which, if you're liberal, which of the liberal pundits out there trying to be president you should vote for. Most are going to go for Joe Biden, not because they know a damn thing about him, except that he was a Democrat and he was vice president to Barack Obama. And if they love Barack Obama, they'll see that there was no scandal. Of course, there were a lot of scandals, and we have the truth on Benghazi, finally, and it was very, very close to what I said, that no one could tell the truth, not Hillary Clinton, not the State Department, and the legislators knew not to ask the right questions because it would have exposed what the entire administration was doing, which was against the law. But be that as it may, they'll go for them or maybe Bernie Sanders. But what about Tulsi Gabbard? That's G-A-B-B-A-R-D. People say she doesn't have a chance. Now the Democratic liberal community, corporate liberal community, is attacking her. Why? What has she done wrong? Unlike Warren, she's not a liar. She didn't pretend to be a Native American and therefore become a tenured professor at Harvard for $200,000 or $300,000 a year and took that away from an authentic Native American woman who deserved that position. No. No, she's a real McCoy. She's against war because she fought in wars. She doesn't want us going into any other environment to disrupt their elections. And she has good ideas, but no one is giving her a medium. And the only thing you hear about her is, well, she's like Jill Stein, or she's one of those strange people. Really? 40 positions Jill Stein stood for were all pro-populist, all pro-environment, all pro-people, all people, not just Democrat or Republicans. So I'm going to play you a clip one day this week where she is interrogating one of the top generals in America. And unlike if that person had been on Sean Hannity's show and he would have rolled out a red carpet and praised him, no, she really asked him the questions and he couldn't answer them. But then the camera pulls back from C-SPAN and you see there's no one else in the chamber. She's alone. None of her colleagues saw fit to be there when she was engaging in this challenge. So we're going to show you the real part of that. Maybe you'll start to look at the candidates who you hadn't thought were qualified, who are. And she would certainly, Tulsi Gabbard, would be one of the top two. In fact, if there was going to be a ticket that had a chance of bringing some semblance of justice, she would be on it either as president or vice president. And just a thought, but I'll bring you that information on an upcoming show. Also, the problem with the Los Angeles earthquakes, the 7.1, was far more serious than what anyone has let you know. But Professor Harvey Wasserman wrote an article called The Quake to Make Los Angeles a Radioactive Dead Zone. And it's on Reader Support News. I'm going to read that to you today also, because it's important. And also, I'm doing my final voiceovers today for the upcoming documentary on our planet and our environment. And I'll be doing a sneak preview of it back in New York in 2 weeks. Short piece. I don't know how long, 5 or 6 minutes. But you'll see how important it is and how it takes on issues no one else has taken on. I won't go into it any further than just to say there's a whole lot going on that we're not aware of when it comes to the environment. But why is it that there has been nothing but misinformation constantly? Oh, they'll say climate change is happening sooner than predicted. Really? Not by us. We've been predicting it all along, remember? Well, I'll show you why every single news source has been wrong and why you can't trust them and what is the realistic timeline. That's our show. We have a lot to share. I'm not going to have a chance to get to our phone calls today, but let's start with this Marshall University study. Now, most people, not everyone, likes spicy foods. And some people feel that spicy is good, but hot is not good. Well, if you like your food hot, chili peppers is how you get the hot. The new study shows that chili peppers can do a lot more than that. It can thin your blood. It can prevent a stroke. And also, it can fight lung cancer. The study out of Marshall University finds that the natural compound responsible for chili peppers' distinctive hot flavor, called capsaicin, capsaicin, can also impede the spread of lung cancer. This is really good news. This could be incredibly important as a breakthrough in cancer treatment. Not only is lung cancer the leading cause of cancer-related deaths among men and women, but most cancer cases become much more when cancer cells begin spreading throughout the patient's bodies due to a process called metastasis. And lung cancers commonly metastasize to secondary locations like the brain, the liver, the bone. Then it makes it nearly impossible to treat. So this helps prevent that. That is good news. So, and this was presented to the American Society of Investigative Pathology. First Hospital of China Medical University said that garlic and onions reduces your risk of colorectal cancer. Now, garlic and onions are normally used to flavor food, but it's not the flavor that's important. It's the allium, A-L-L-I-U-M. That would include leeks and chives and shallots because they can prevent colorectal cancer. Why? Because there's a bioactive compound or compounds in allium that have previously been shown to prevent breast cancer, prostate cancer. In this study, published in the Asia Pacific Journal of Clinical Oncology, it can also do so with colorectal cancer. So that's important. This was a good group, 833 participants diagnosed with colorectal cancer and 833 cancer-free individuals cross-matched. Those who consume garlic and onions had a substantial, and that's 35 pounds per year. And that was able to slash that. That's one onion a day, to just give you an idea. And I've said for a long time, an onion a day keeps a stroke away. Now we know it does a lot more than that. And probiotic yeast induces programmed cell death in colon cancer cells. This is from Tabriz University in Iran and published in Nutrition Research. So it means that that probiotic yeast, and you can buy this in health food stores, is an anti-cancer agent. It really impacts your gut microbiota, all of the trillions of bacteria in your intestine. So one more reason to take probiotics. Also from University of Cambridge, there's a lot of problems with smartphones. Now, this new survey of 3,400 university students in the United States found that 1 in 5 respondents reported problematic smartphone use. Female students were more likely to be affected, and problematic smartphone use was associated with lower grades. They're spending so much time on the phone, they're not studying. Mental health problems. Whatever they're doing on the smartphones and texting is causing anxiety or depression or some form of mood swing. And also, there was all types of people. They were using their smartphones for playing games, for gambling, using messenger systems, accessing web services like pornography, which was most common, social networks. And it's increasing. Right now, there are 2.7 billion billion people using these smartphones. So just to be aware of it, it can cause what is now considered a combination of anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and problems with self-esteem. That should give one a sense of pause of why they're using it and how they're using it and how often they're using it. From Shanghai Jiao Tong University in China, Ginkgo, G-I-N-K-G-O, alleviates osteoporosis in experimental study. That's good. We know that it's really good for memory. It's good for cognition. It's good for people who've had strokes. It's good for Alzheimer's. Texas A&M University published in Nutrition Research, plums can prevent colon cancer cells from spreading. How about that? Now, we know that plums are good to prevent constipation, and they have a lot of minerals in them, but this also shows the fruit contains polyphenols like chlorogenic acid and neochlorogenic acid, and they can inhibit the spread of colorectal cancer cells. That's good. Also, low coenzyme Q10 levels are linked to neurodegeneration, University of Tokyo. Simply stated, and this was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Neurology, researchers have found low levels of coenzyme Q10 in people with multiple system atrophy. So if you have neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, you need to take more coenzyme Q10. I suggest 300 milligrams, 100 milligrams three times a day, just for the basics. And also, men, you've probably seen all the ads there are to see if you have erectile dysfunction. And now you hear it on the, I was listening to a show while I was driving out to the Everglades, do some filming on Sunday, and the doctor was talking about erectile dysfunction and how they're giving these men an injectable kit. They just inject themselves, but all they're doing is to inject themselves with a liquid form of the oral tablet you would normally take. It still has all the side effects. And that's not a good way of dealing with erectile dysfunction. It could be blockages of your arteries, could be poor circulation, frequently is, or sclerosing within the valves and veins that feed into the reproductive region. And there are different therapies can help alleviate that. But quercetin, this is brand new. You haven't heard this before. Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin, and rutin, R-U-T-I-N, those are both very powerful antioxidants, could prevent or manage erectile dysfunction. This is from the University of Lagos in Nigeria. And that's what they're saying, because they took groups of people who had erectile dysfunction, gave them quercetin and rutin, and made a big difference, helped them. And versus those who didn't get them, they didn't have any help. So that's a natural, non-toxic way. Now, you can add in L-arginine, and you can add in choline to that as well. And finally, University of Leeds, which is in the United Kingdom, polyphenol and fiber from dried fruits and green tea can help stabilize your blood sugar levels. So that's good. And when you look at green tea, it's just one of the best things in the world you can take into your body each day. But this was a randomized study where individuals who had high blood sugar were given these, and it made all the difference in the world. They were looking at black currants, strawberries, and blackberries, along with green tea. And then apple peel and strawberries. And they're all high in fiber. And the more fiber you have, the more likely you are to sweep out of the body a lot of the sugars that are not fully digested. So that's good. Apple peel in particular was good. Remember I told you about a drink to help you lower your cholesterol and your blood sugar? you skin four apples. Now, you can juice the apples afterwards, but the skin of the apples where all the healing properties are, and you blend those, and you put some vitamin C, olive oil, and quercetin in there, and take that down as a shake. And you talk about opening up if you're constipated, cleansing the colon, reestablishing some normal probiotic bacteria, and helping you if you have yeast or candida. That'll do it. That's the latest on health and healing, and we are going to take a short break and come right back. Please stay with us. We have a lot of people listening to this program in Los Angeles. For 33 years, 6 hours a week, I was on a sister station, KPFK, with Roy of Hollywood. Wonderful human being, if you don't know Roy. And he's a true hippie. Yeah, this is still 1966 to Roy. And he's just a gentle soul. And when I decided to leave there because I didn't like the politics of the station, nor how it sounded, I didn't feel it was any longer serving its purpose, and therefore I was just there to raise money, and I didn't want to do that anymore. Those people came over to PRN, but they listen. So here's the latest thing for all of you living in Los Angeles, or in California for that matter. This is from Professor Harvey Wasserman, one of the world's leading authorities on the dangers of nuclear power. He says, in an article entitled, that we posted, "The Quake to Make Los Angeles a Radioactive Dead Zone," quote, "We were this close to an unimaginable apocalyptic horror. Had Friday's 7.1 earthquake and other ongoing seismic shocks hit less than 200 miles northwest of Ridgecrest, China Lake, 10 million people in Los Angeles would now be under an apocalyptic cloud, their lives and those of the state and nation in radioactive ruin. The likely human death toll would be in the millions. The likely property loss would be in the trillions. The forever damage to our species, food supply, ecological support system, and long-term economy would be very far beyond any meaningful calculation. The threat to the ability of the human race to survive on this planet will be extremely significant. The two cracked, embrittled, under-maintained, unregulated, uninsured, and uninspected atomic reactors at Diablo Canyon near San Luis Obispo would be a seething radioactive ruin. Their cores would be melting into the ground. Hydrogen explosions would be blasting the site to deadly dust. One or both melted cores would have burned into the earth and hit ground or ocean water, causing massive steam explosions with physical impacts in the range of Hiroshima or Nagasaki. The huge clouds would send murderous radioactive isotopes into the atmosphere that would permanently poison the land, the oceans, the air, the circle of the globe again and again and again, filling the lungs of billions of people with the most potent poisons humans have ever created. In 2010, badly maintained gas pipes run by Pacific Gas and Electric blew up a neighborhood in San Bruno, killing 8 people. PG&E's badly maintained power lines have helped torch much of Northern California, killing 80 people and incinerating more than 10,000 structures. Now in bankruptcy, with its third president in 2 years, PG&E is utterly unqualified to run two large, old, obsolete, crumbling atomic reactors, which are surrounded by earthquake faults. At least a dozen faults have been identified within a small radius around the reactors. The reactor cores are less than 50 miles from San Andreas Fault, less than half the distance to Fukushima Daiichi was from the epicenter that destroyed four reactors there. Diablo cannot withstand an earthquake of the magnitude now hitting less than 200 miles away. In 2014, the Associated Press reported that Dr. Michael Peck, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's site inspector at Diablo, had warned that the two reactors should be shut down because they can't withstand a seismic shock like the one that just hit so close. The NRC tried to bury Peck's report. They attacked his findings, then shipped him to Tennessee. He's no longer with the commission. All major reactor disasters have come with early warnings. A 1978 accident at Ohio's Davis-Vesey reactor presaged the 1979 disaster at Three Mile Island. The realities were hidden. The TMI spewed radioactive dust that killed local people and animals in droves. Soviet officials knew the emergency shutdown mechanisms at Chernobyl could cause an explosion, but kept it secret. Unit 4 exploded the instant the rods meant to shut it down were deployed. Decades before disaster struck at Fukushima Daiichi, millions of Japanese citizens marched to demand atomic reactors not be built in a zone riddled with fault lines and washed by tsunamis. In California, tens of thousands of citizens were arrested demanding the same. Diablo's owners hid the existence of the Hoogsree Fault just 3 miles from the site. A dozen more nearby fault lines have since been found, capable in tandem of delivering shocks like the ones shaking Ridgecrest. No significant structural improvements have been made to deal with the newfound fault lines. The truly horrifying HBO series on Chernobyl, currently topping all historic viewership charts, shows just a small sample of the ghastly death and destruction that can be caused by official corruption and neglect. Like Soviets, the state of California has refused to conduct independent investigations on the physical status of the two Diablo reactors. It has refused to hold public hearings on Dr. Peck's warnings that they can't withstand seismic shocks like the ones now being experienced so dangerously nearby. If there are realistic plans to evacuate Los Angeles and other downtown areas during a reactor meltdown explosions, hearings on them have yet to be held. In the wake of the 2011 explosions at Fukushima, the NRC staff compiled critical reforms for American reactors, including Diablo, but the commission killed the proposed regulations, so nothing significant has been done to improve safety at two coastal reactors upwind of 10 million people that are surrounded by earthquake faults in a tsunami zone like the one where the four Fukushima reactors have already exploded. There are no excuses. These seismic shocks will never stop. Diablo is scheduled to be shut down in 2024 and 2025, but massive advances in wind, solar, batteries, and efficiency have already rendered the nuke's power unnecessary. The petition demanding Governor Newsom and the state independently investigate Diablo's ability to operate safely is at solartopia.org. That's S-O-L-A-R-T-O-P-I-A, solartopia.org. That petition began circulating before these latest quakes. The continued operation of these two reactors has now gone to the whole new level of apocalyptic insanity. And that's from Harvey Wasserman, someone I know. He appeared, by the way, in the multi-award-winning documentary Knocking on the Devil's Door, Our Dead and Nuclear Legacy. And so, to all those of you in California, you didn't come to the attention of the concerned parents when they wanted everyone to stand up for freedom of choice. They were not anti-vaccine. They just wanted the science to prove that a mandatory vaccine, one that they would have no choice, their child would have to take, had the science to prove its efficacy and safety. There was no science provided, independent science, showing safety and efficacy. I provided 40 articles that I had written, along with Richard Gale, showing that there was no safety and efficacy. In fact, to the contrary, they were completely unscientific. Those who voted against the vaccine mandate, unfortunately, were not policymakers or opinion leaders, just listeners to the show. And you see the consequences of that. Now they want to start mandating vaccines for adults as well. And it's gotten serious. We're filing 5 lawsuits in New York to challenge the vaccine exemptions that they've taken away. They have no science, just politics and the behind-the-scenes dirty politicking that is common in New York and California and New Jersey, political backroom deals. So listen up. There's no one who thinks about nuclear radiation. No, the average citizen doesn't. It's not on their radar. But when you're living in an area where you've had a 7.1, the most powerful earthquake, with multiple hundreds of aftershocks in the 4-point range, that means it's a forewarning of what's about to come. Now, this is important to me because back in the, right after Three Mile Island and the official government report on it, that no one died, no problems, it's all okay, under Jimmy Carter, by the way, who was a nuclear scientist, nuclear engineer, I should say. 3 people, Dr. Ernest Sternglass, Dr. Jay Gould, and myself, spent over a year compiling the actual statistics. And what we did, we compiled the deaths of young babies in the area downwind, and we found 50,000 unexpected deaths. This huge spike, it hadn't been there in 50 years, and suddenly you see this gigantic spike go right up, right after Indian Point. And we got all the documents, and we got all the statistics, and we were writing our report, and lo and behold, someone erased it. Not a report. They erased the original statistics. And Jay Gould called me, and Jay lived down, we both lived on 86th Street at the time, and he said, can you come down? And I walked down, and he said, take a look. They've erased someone, obviously a government official, has taken all those deaths and gotten rid of them. They don't exist. But fortunately, we had copies of the original. So we published our report. If you go up and want to read that article, it's a very scientific article, but in lots of graphs, it shows you at least 50,000 babies died because of Indian Point, plus all forms of other illnesses. Remember, radiation poisoning can take time, can take years. But then we went back and we filmed the people who, 5 years after, couldn't eat. They couldn't hold food in. They had radiation poisoning. None of those people's stories ever showed anywhere. None were able to get through the government to get into a lawsuit. It took a long time before any legal representation was successful. So remember, there's always a people behind the scenes that if they have something loose politically or economically, have the power to lie. So anyone telling you, if you live in California right now, you're living in the right place, let me tell you, friends, it's over. It's all over. California is not sustainable in the future. My suggestion, and if you needed more than this earthquake, if you needed all the fires, if you needed all the drought, if you needed the water rationing, if you needed the over congestion, if you needed the land dropping as much as 8 feet, not 8 inches, 8 feet it dropped because of the excessive oils and hydrofracking, then it's on you. Then you're making a choice to stay intentionally ignorant, in which case your intentional ignorance is going to cause you some unintended negative consequences in the future. If we had honest governors, we don't. If we had people that really cared about the truth, like journalists, they would be telling you the truth about which of the states are no longer sustainable going forward, in which case you can make an appropriate and timely, not rushed, but appropriate way of helping people relocate their lives and factories and their careers. It doesn't have to be a mad scramble for the door. It can be done in a way that you make the best choices. Not a single place is doing it. Developers are still developing in Miami and down to the Keys. People are still buying like it's a great deal. Yeah, today it may be a great view. Interesting, I'll tell you a little side story here. About a month after Hurricane Sandy, I'm in my office, and we're also broadcasting for WBAI because it was flooded and its engineering, all that was destroyed. The building's electronics went, and so they were using our studios and our offices. We set them up, offices and computers, and even brought them down food 3 times a day, 24 hours a day. We help them. It's what you do when you're associated with people. You don't, you know, you say, what can I do, friend? And that's what we did. Well, I'm there one day, and in comes this guy, and he says, I just want to share a story with you, and I think you might find it interesting. I said, what's that? He said, well, you know, this Hurricane Sandy, it was rough. But here's the backstory. My father and our family, a larger family, had lived out on Long Island, right on the water for a long period of time. And he was wanting to retire and move down to Florida. And so we were going to, what are we going to do with the house? And everybody was, well, let's keep it. You know, we can use it. And I heard one of your shows on better to be safe and make the right move and get out of harm's way. Because if we have a hurricane that's got a high intensity, it's going to blow a lot of homes away and you're not going to have insurance. And so when my father finally left, he died before he moved, I was the executor of the estate, and I was fought by all my siblings. They were all angry at me. They thought I was a nut and crazy. And I said, no, we're going to sell. And we sold and equally divided up all the shares. And it was a lot of money. I think he said it was about $1.5 million. And 2 weeks after that, Sandy came and completely destroyed his house. It was all gone. I said, did any of your siblings apologize and say, wow, you know, well, you did the right thing? Nope. No, nobody apologized. So the fact that we're telling you what is coming doesn't mean you're going to pay attention. Some people will, of course. Others won't. But there's going to be a really tough consequence. Now, let's take that to another state here. And this is interesting. This is climate change. So why is it so often sooner than predicted? And this is from Kolarib Sonnenblum at Makasha Press. Said, and then it goes through the headlines. Quote, on June 15th, headline elicited feelings in me of both shock and deja vu. Climate change, Arctic permafrost now melting at levels not expected till 2090. And then another one here from the University of Leeds, and then another one from The Guardian, another one from Inside Climate News, another one from Climate Central. Here's what it's all saying. You get the point, because this goes on for pages. As the Climate Council has reported, hot days have doubled in Australia over the past half century. The decade between 2000 and 2009, heat waves reached levels not expected until the 2030s, arriving more than two decades ahead of schedule. Another one, climate change will reduce crop yields sooner than thought. New research shows climate change will reduce crop yields, quote, sooner than expected. Dangerous global warming will happen sooner than thought, said the Australian journalist James Hansen, that scientists warned drastic climate impacts coming much sooner than expected. Former NASA scientists said much sooner. Florida reefs are dissolving much sooner than expected. Scientists caught off guard by record temperatures ice-free Arctic may happen much sooner than expected. Ground that is now not frozen in the Arctic winter could be a sign the region is warming faster than believed. Scientists surprised at how they found Arctic soil may not be freezing at all, even in the winter. Paris global warming targets could be expected sooner than expected because of melting, and it goes on page after page after page. Arctic permafrost melting 70 years sooner than expected. Well, for the last 10 years, I've been doing this series on the environment, including, if you remember, 8 years ago, I did a 3-month series on the 40 tipping points, explaining what a tipping point was and how it creates feedback loops. And I said that at the time that I had interviewed, filmed, and you'll see him in the film, the gentleman whose actual character is played by Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, the chaos theorist. And he told me at the time, we are in chaos theory. Nobody has an accurate prediction. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. So once we began to film all these different scientists for the new documentary I'm doing, they were all very conservative. So then I wondered why. Why are they all saying, it's like they're all talking from talking points. And then I filmed Guy McPherson and Kevin Hester and at least 30 other scientists who are qualified scientists, but are just telling the truth. And they're saying, no, we don't have 100 years. It's right now, as we speak. It's happening now in different parts of the world. In fact, there's a unique extreme weather event happening every single week around the world. Wow, okay, we just saw it this past weekend. Saturday, the hottest June in United States history, the hottest day on record in France's history. Anchorage, Alaska hit over 80 degrees. Anchorage, Alaska, the hottest day in its history. So no, those are one-off. But you start adding all that up and you start seeing how bad it actually is. Now go down to Arkansas. You'll see film from Arkansas, Indiana, Louisiana. You'll see the fields that are awash in water, the seeds gone for the year. What do you think those farmers are going to do? They have no insurance for this. They have no income for crops that are not being harvested this year because seeds weren't planted or rotted. Tens of thousands of farmers are going to be gone by the late fall. They cannot afford their mortgages, their loans. They're just going to throw it away, declare bankruptcy, and do something else. So we are looking at the beginning of a food shortage commencing now, but you won't feel it. You know, a person sits down to a meal and has got a 12-course meal and doesn't look in the kitchen and outside that there's no food left until they're down to no course. Then suddenly, where's the next? There is no next course. Well, the rich will always have ways out. They'll always have food. They'll always have shelter. They'll always be able to get out of harm's way. What about you? It's time that you stop reading the New York Times and CNN and the networks for your truth about the environment. Because the ultra-conservatives, the non-alarmists, the people who feel that you can't handle the truth are not going to give you the truth. And hence you'll have that moment where you think, it's not that bad. Look outside. It's not that bad. Yeah. And we had 500 tornadoes right before we didn't have any tornadoes. Now, I want to ask the people who lived through a tornado and had nothing left, is it real? Oh, yeah. You've heard me say this statement. I'll say it again. There will be no demonstrations against a corrupt government, a corrupt judiciary, corrupt legislative, corrupt executive branch. There'll be no, let's stop this at the deep state and the coup that the insiders led by the Clinton machine tried to make of overriding the people's will, like it or not. And you don't have to like the president, most don't, to realize that these people showed their hand for the first time, and then the media supported them. They were wrong. In the next 3 months, dozens will be indicted, brought before grand juries, and the truth will come out. The truth about Benghazi, which nobody got right. will be coming out. We know the truth. I'll be broadcasting it later this week. Why it was not brought forward. So many truths are now being revealed. The truth about, you know, how we buy stuff we don't need and pay for it with money we don't have, and where we have $272 trillion in debt at all levels, of people's pensions that are not fully funded, even though by their state constitutions they must be fully funded, and how you're going to see a lot of pensions substantially reduced, no matter what the Constitution says they are protected, fire unions, police, teachers. We are living on borrowed time because we refuse to address any of our problems honestly and forthrightly and non-politically. Everything is about identity politics, and it's wrong. So I just want to let you know that if you live in Los Angeles, I'd be looking for another place out of that state to live for a lot of reasons. And by the way, 51% of all the people that were queried said they want to move out of California. Long overdue. It should be 95%. So there will be those who still live in some form of utopia who believe that it's not going to happen to them until it does. Just like the heart attack or the stroke. Not going to happen to me until it does. I want to share that with you. Now I want to share what we are doing to challenge Wikipedia. And I'm not going to tell you how we're going to go about it, because that's part of what is going to be interesting. Right now, my office in New York is a whole team of social activist lawyers. I mean bulldogs, tough as nails, smart. And these are not the white glove, you know, pimps of corporate America down on Wall Street or Washington, D.C. And we have found a lot of things that are wrong. Here's how you can help. I'm posting the letter from our attorneys to Wikipedia's board of directors. Read it carefully, all of it. Share it. Then read the 32 articles that we've written. We have two more coming out this week about Wikipedia. Read the one on its skeptics not being qualified. We have two more on skeptics coming this week. Read about their source, like Stephen Barrett, two of the articles, not a qualified source. Here's what this says. Because there are thousands of people who've been slandered and libeled with no opportunity for redress, and Wikipedia, Facebook, and Google are not supposed to or allowed by law to create original content, they are. This is to Wikipedia Foundation. I'll just read part of it. And removal of biography of Gary Nall. This letter is a final demand for the immediate removal of the biography of a living person entry of Dr. Gary Nall from Wikipedia. Our earlier requests have been repeatedly ignored, starting with my initial letter on March 14, 2018. In our final legal analysis, it is irrefutable that not only is the Nall bio grossly inaccurate, but also defamatory. By malice of intent, Wikipedia's refusal to act upon an earlier request provides further evidence to authenticate the illegal nature of Wikipedia's operations per its mission and 501(c)(3) registered status. The foundation therefore foregoes any protection it may try to rely upon under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act and violates its legal obligations as a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. The Nall biography is a glaring example of everything that independent scholars and journalists have identified as the broken and highly unethical nature of Wikipedia. The animus behind the Nall biography is not an anomaly. It is characteristic of the manner in which Wikipedia operates with regard to permitting individuals with a clandestine stake to promulgate their opposition and aspersion toward persons and fields of knowledge they disapprove. Through its preferral or entrenched editors and administrators with documented support from Jimmy Wales, Wikipedia creates content and therefore is legally responsible for content that harms individuals' reputations, denigrates entire professions, corrupts the body of knowledge in critical areas such as health, medicine, and politics, and engages in favored and pay-for-play content creation. Dr. Nall was unaware of the existence of his Wikipedia biography until a major publisher canceled a pending book contract based upon its reading of the Nall biography. And it goes on, explains what happened. And we simply warn them. And then what we include is, and this is what I want you to read in the long version. It's posted on prn.fm. 1, Wikipedia's violations of its editorial standards. 2, its conflicts with its rules on biographies of living persons, meaning if there's a person alive, you can't just go and denigrate them. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You can if you're Wikipedia. Wikipedia, in my opinion, operates much like a McCarthy tribunal or an inquisitional tribunal. It is primordial. And unless you see it in all of its different variations, and we expose it all, you can't appreciate it. And then they give the person being attacked no opportunity for redress, no opportunity to correct anything. And they lie when they say anyone can edit a page. You cannot. And then 3, ideological and unwarranted source referencing, like Stephen Barrett. And 4, biased and preferential treatment of skeptic organizations. Have you actually investigated the skeptic organizations? We have. Have you actually read everything they've written? We have. And you can read what our thoughts are and how we're going to deconstruct the legitimacy of their statements all this week and next week and the week after and the week after and the week after and the week after. Whoa, do we have a tsunami of information coming your way. And if you're a journalist for the New York Times, I don't know if they actually have a journalist left. If you're a propagandist for the New York Times, they got a lot of them. Why don't you see what we were able to uncover about the skeptics? Why haven't you uncovered it? We have. And what about the culture of information terrorism? What about Jimmy Wells' complicity with skeptical ideology? What about violations of tax-exempt nonprofit status? What about violation of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act? We document it all. And it's a long piece, but it's important because we're doing this on behalf of all of the chiropractors, homeopaths, alternative medical doctors, holistic nurses, holistic dentists, massage therapists, nutritionists, wellness coaches, acupuncturists, Ayurvedic medical practitioners, naturopathic medical technicians, and traditional Chinese medicine practitioners, and also those who practice body-mind medicine and humanistic psychology, tapping, etc. Because all of them, as entire professions have been denigrated, all of them as individuals who use the therapy, no matter what their academic credentials have been smeared. All of their patients have been denigrated. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of therapists and hundreds of millions of patients. But you also are talking about hundreds of thousands of articles supporting chiropractic and homeopathy and alternative medicine and herbs and nutrients in the peer-reviewed journal, including the government's own library of medicine. So how are they able to get away with this? And that's what we documented. So now is the time that we should be asking our legislators for an open public hearing on all of these platforms. No longer the dog and pony show where you bring on one of the top executives from Google and say, did you do these things? And I don't think we did these. I'm pretty sure we didn't do these things. Okay. Well, if you find out you did, would you let us know and not do it again, please? No. No, and then you find out many of those legislators have been supported by Google or Facebook or Wikipedia. No, we need open hearings. Ask your legislator for open hearings where we can go forward. Put me on the stand. Take a look at my biography. Take a look at YouTube and see how many times I've been invited under oath to give evidence and see how I speak with these clowns and the evidence I bring. All right? That's what we want. Because when we face the skeptics and we face our credentials versus their, the people we've helped and healed versus what they say is not possible, then you'll see what this comes down to. All of these should be broken up. Facebook, Google, Twitter, Wikipedia. And they should all be susceptible to the normal torts that are allowed. If you slander someone, you go to trial. You have a chance to defend yourself. If you can prove your statements are correct, you win. If you can't, you lose. Then let's see, just like the vitamin makers, we should be asking our legislators, take away the 1986 provision that take away their identification. If they make a vaccine that injures people, the company itself is responsible. What do you want to bet? There won't be a single mandated vaccine in America at that point. We don't need them. If you want to be pro-vaccine, I never tell people not to take vaccines. That's their right to take vaccines. People want to take a vaccine, it's your right. I just like to make sure that if you're taking a vaccine, that the vaccine has been proven safe and effective. That's it. So take away their identification. If it's given to them for political reasons, and right after it was given, the persons who in Congress, including one of the top representatives of the House, left and immediately went to work for a huge salary with a vaccine company. And by the way, the former FDA commissioner just left the FDA and went on the board of directors of Merck. And then the former CDC director, Julie Gerberding, left and went to work for Merck for millions of dollars. And we're to believe that they weren't biased? This is nonsense. So no more dog and pony shows. Let the people, the real authorities, come forward and testify. Then, after we've testified, then bring in the people and give them their opportunity to respond. That's where this is going, and it's not going to go away, and it's not going to stop. I haven't told you how many people are involved. I haven't told you how many citizen journalists that are involved. I haven't told you how many lawyers, and we're still hiring, are involved. But we're not going into this unprepared. And anyone who knows me knows. I don't get angry. I don't do anything except to seek justice for the people. And that day is going to happen. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.